Good evening and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content related to queer communities in Colorado. I'm your host, Elise Matatal, and this week I had the pleasure of speaking with comedian and performer Chanel Hughes. Take a listen. Great. Before we dive in, do you mind introducing yourself, sharing your name, pronouns, and some of the hats that you wear in the community?
Yeah, my name is Chanel Hughes. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm a stand-up comedian, a crafter, a wife, a mom, event producer, and very, very, very cute.
Yes, you are. So you were sharing a little bit before we started about your start as a comedian. Do you want to share that?
Yes. So I was always into, the arts, visual arts, performing arts. And I started in theater in high school. Then after college, I was working, my big girl job, and it was driving me just like I needed something else. So I started doing improv classes, and I did that for about 3 years. And then my sister knew someone who did comedy shows, and people always thought I was funny, but the thought of getting on stage terrified me. And so he was like, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes in a couple months. I was really scared, but I did it, and here I am now, 5 years later. So.
Yeah, it seems like stand-up comedy is super unique. Is there anything in particular that you like about it? It seems like you're pretty good at sort of telling the stories and holding the presence on the stage, it seems like.
Yeah, I think I do like getting to share my story and my point of view. I would say a lot of the things, like I grew up, always kind of having not a filter or seeing things in a different lens. And so that was not always appreciated. And now with comedy, all my quirky quirks and points of views are appreciated and even laughed at and enjoyed. And I think that's what I enjoy most about stand-up is it brings together people who often, maybe don't look alike or don't share anything on the surface, but it does help remind us that we're all human and we're all a little more similar than we think.
I love that. It also seems like you sort of mine some of your stories. You mentioned your mom and a wife. It seems like some of your stories are about your kid and your personal life. And I'm curious, do you feel like you do that on purpose, or how would you describe your style?
Well, that is, I guess, observational a bit, because all of my stories are, basically based on what is going on around me. And so they're very true and real. And there's times when my wife is like, do not bring that to the stage. So I do take a lot of what's going on around me. And I usually have a pretty humorous point of view about a lot of things. And it's like, I think other people could relate to this. A majority of us have kids or maybe married or have parents, So these are all struggles sometimes we all face, I think.
Totally. Did I hear you say your wife is always at your performances?
Yes, she's at a majority of them. And I think I also said, like, there's sometimes when she's telling me, like, you can't bring that to the stage. She has to look for me. And I'm like, okay, that's fair.
She's like, that fight we just had is off limits.
And I was like, well, if you're at the show, it is, But if you're not there, no.
Did I see that your wife is a performer too? Do you want to brag about her for a moment?
Yeah, she is also a musician and a poet. She actually just produced her first music event and it went spectacular. It sold out, and she released her first album and poetry book within the last 3 years. So she's pretty great. She's a great writer and she's funny. Like, she helps me with a lot of my jokes. And just with a lot of life in general. Like, she's a great human being. So, yeah.
That's cool. And how long have you all been together?
We've been together 4 years this year. Yeah, and then we're going on 2 years of marriage.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm curious. So it seems like you have been performing in the Denver scene for a bit. Have you noticed, like, any changes, how the comedy scene or performing space has changed since you started out?
I think the scene has definitely grown a lot, especially I think after COVID. It's just a lot more shows and a lot of different shows, a lot of more niche type of shows. You know, there's definitely a lot of like stoner shows that I'm seeing these days, and just like something for everybody, I would say. Also, a lot more comedians. And so that's cool too, because it's a lot more point of views. And I think that is what makes comedy fun, is that there's a comedian for everybody. And we've seen that, you know, to the point where it's like, okay, if this is what you want to follow, that's your choice. But there's a comedian for everybody.
That's a great way of putting it. Like, there's probably been a lot more niche comedy I've seen in the last couple of years.
Yes. Yes.
Would you say you fall into sort of the stoner comedy, or more like slice of life? Or I don't know if you even have a term for how you do comedy.
Yeah, I would think I think it's a bit niche here because I am a Black woman. I'm a queer woman. And I think that is I definitely stands out in Denver, and puts me, I guess, and I'm a parent, and that's not always a lot, especially now I'm realizing like a lot of audiences sometimes are young, maybe Gen Z, you know? And so it's like, okay, you know, I can't talk about kids because they are kids, you know? And so it's like, those are all kind of more niche categories. But I still think it's still pretty relatable. Like, as much as it's like, this is my life of a, you know, Black, queer, 30-year-old woman who's a mother, it's still like very human, very relatable comedy.
Yeah, I saw, maybe it was on your website, I saw something about how you're like your best friend that you feel comfortable with. It does feel like your comedy is very relatable. Is that something that you do on purpose, or is that just something you've developed over time?
I think developed over time. I think just with life, life's hardships, being able to laugh at things that aren't always, you know, funny. I think that's a part of life, is our outlook and our perspective. And I think that is what makes it relatable, because it is authentic. It's really my life and a lot of personal things that I'm sharing. Some of them at times have been painful experiences that I've gone through. But I think comedy offers a type of, you know, secondhand healing, where these are things that people don't necessarily want to talk about, but we get on stage, we talk about it, and maybe you can laugh, and maybe it's a bit cathartic and it gives you some sort of release, you know? So, yeah.
That's such a great perspective, and makes me think about mostly, do you know Marc Maron? I'm sure you do, but his style of comedy, where he sort of mines the hard moments to reflect on it in some ways. Are there any comedians that you sort of look up to as role models, or whether local or more national folks?
I would say on a more national level, I definitely like Sam Jay. I think she's a hilarious comedian in her observational style. And I like Miss Pat. I think she's also hilarious because she takes very, painful, sometimes moments where it's like, whoa, you know, I never would have thought to even, you know, I think sometimes moments that we may even feel shame about, and bring a lot of laughter, a lot of relief, a different perspective to those types of situations. Locally, I would say I really like Sammy Anser. He's just funny. He's a funny, light comedian who also brings up situations that we often don't think about, and just make them funny. You know, it's like, maybe these are things that we're embarrassed or ashamed to talk about. And I think that is what I really like in comedy, when we take these things that we may have been embarrassed about as younger kids, or as anybody living in this world, and we make those things funny for everybody.
That's such a good point. I'm thinking about what you shared earlier about your identities and your experiences. Do you feel like you have incorporated that into your comedy? Just thinking about your like sort of unique position as being a Black queer woman who's from Denver, I feel like you've shared jokes that are sort of playing on that or really tapping into that.
Yes. So, I'll say, yeah, I grew up here and born and raised in Denver and in the suburbs. So I was usually the only, you know, Black kid or in my class, you know, or in a lot of my classes. So my experience as a Black person from a white place is sort of a nuanced experience, I think, and one that's different depending on where you live, you know. And then I grew up here. I went to Colorado State, and I was, my relationship now with my wife is my first same-sex relationship and my first coming out. So that was a majority of my comedy and my sexual journey, sexuality journey. Hold on now. Has been together. And that has been the rawness of really an opening up of me, I would say a burning of an old self and a, you know, a phoenix coming up out of the ashes of a new self sort of imagery, you know? So I've even been exploring, you know, Denver in a lot of different ways. Like my mom, I was raised in the suburbs and very sheltered, you know, we didn't really travel around Colorado. And then when I met my wife, she really opened my eyes. I was like, whoa, Denver has a downtown, you know? So, yeah, so it's been a lot of, I think, growing up and self-realization, self-actualization these years that if you followed my comedy, you've got to see on stage.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. I'm your host, Elise Matital, and I've been speaking with local comedian Chanel Hughes. Interesting. Well, and I'm thinking about what you shared when we opened about sort of the anxiety or fear around like getting on the stage and how it ended up being maybe not as scary. And here you are 5 years later doing it. It does seem like you've been sort of processing your experiences publicly in some ways, like through sharing your stories and turning it into comedy.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It was, it's exactly that. I'm like a majority of comedians. I came out to the comedy scene or knew me as just a lesbian woman before my family did, you know? So it was kind of a reintroduction of me and who I am and who I was. So yeah, a lot of, yeah, raw moments brought to the stage. A lot of my funniest jokes. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm still processing this, I think, but let's laugh. Let's laugh through it.
Don't laugh too hard, guys.
Right? I'm like, this is a great, great premise. And also, I'm going to have to discuss this with my therapist, you know?
Or just send your therapist a skit that you just did.
I usually do. I'm like, let me just let you all in on what's going on. Let's just keep it open. And then if they laugh, I'm like, this is a good therapist, you know?
That's great. You said that the pandemic, it seems like a lot more comedians have sort of sprung up since the pandemic. What was it like for you navigating being like a performer or someone in the arts during the sort of height of the pandemic? Not that it's over, but things have opened up a little bit more. How did you survive that?
It was tough. I kind of was just beginning on the comedy scene in August of 2019. So I was kind of like really excited and really riled up. And then, you know, March 2020 came and I was going through it. I was like, I was bad for my mental health. I was working at the time and I don't think anybody, you know, knew what to do. And so I had a comedy festival planned for April in Alaska that was canceled. A lot of things were being canceled. And so I went back to work in in April. And I that really helped me keep me just in a good space. And then I started doing comedy shows outside again, June 2020. So I kind of, I didn't stop. I was kind of in it through all of COVID. And it was interesting. It was good. It was scary. It was crazy. It was all of those things. And I look back now and I think it was what I needed, I think. I wish that wasn't the circumstance. I know all of us, but yeah, I guess I was happy to continue to do it, but it was just like, this is rough, you know, and there are still people coming out, people wanting to laugh, people enjoying the comedy, but yeah, it was interesting. And now we're back, and now people are back to heckling us. You know, it happened quick. It was like people were grateful, you know, and now they're like throwing beers at us again. So nature's healing.
Wow. Well, I definitely want to comment on that, but it does strike me that like it sort of probably suited your style of comedy that you could sort of process this crazy crisis event while on the stage.
Yes. Yeah. It was helpful. It's like, even now, if I'm not doing comedy for too long, I'm like, I need to go on stage. You know, I need to get some things out. You know, even my wife is like, isn't there a show coming up? Something, you know, get out of here.
It's great. It's like a great coping tool.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of people not using coping tools, you really get heckled like that? I guess I've heard that abstractly, but what?
Not me so much. I haven't gotten too bad at heckles, but we've seen, I don't know if you've seen the clip of the woman who somebody threw a beer can at her, which got her Jimmy Kimmel set, I think a late night set, which those two things shouldn't go together, but you know, or something, it happened like that. But yeah, folks get mad at us. Folks get very mad. I haven't been heckled too bad, but I have had some people come up and be like, I didn't, you know, like that or didn't. And I'm like, you know, all right. It's just a part of the game. I know sometimes with my identities, it's kind of a fear, you know, I'm like, I hope no one takes so much offense, you know, to an extent, but I try to not move in fear. But yeah, this is a very unprotected game. And we're just speaking our points of views. And, you know, sometimes, you know, yeah, political, religious, a lot of different things, you know. So we may be processing on stage. That doesn't mean everybody in the audience is.
That's so interesting, because I'm just thinking about like how raw and personal what you're talking about is. But you're also sort of like in relationship with this audience that is either like vibing with you. The event that I saw you at, people were laughing their butts off, thought you were great. But I'm curious, like, how that sort of relationship with the audience that you're working with, what has that been like for you?
I usually have pretty positive experiences, to be honest. I feel very blessed and grateful. And, you know, I'm praying that continues. So that has been great, because I feel like, yeah, ultimately, I want to make folks laugh and think. And I think that's my power as a comedian, is to bring that joy. And also, you know, a little introspective, you know, thinking to folks, you know, but to have a good time. And so, yeah, I haven't had too much negative energy return, but I'm also, I don't think, trying to give out negative energy. You know, I'm not presenting my comedy with a bad intention or to rile people up. Like, everything I'm saying is with good intention and to think and to have a good time, you know? So that is usually the vibe.
Totally. I also noticed, I was thinking of maybe one of the clips that I saw where it seemed like you sort of played on the tension of being able to like joke about being a Black woman in front of a mostly white audience or something, but it still felt like good intention, like you said, like it was sort of a wink, wink, and a nod. But I just thought that you played on the tension, but in a really great way.
Thank you. Yeah, that is, I think, one compliment that I've heard, because I do, you know, speak a lot about white people in a lot of my jokes, you know, and I still want us to enjoy the show. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm not necessarily trying to make anybody comfortable, but I think that the nuances within my jokes and what I'm saying help with some of that, like, yeah, wink, wink, nod. And also touching on these subjects that are here. They're real and they're happening, you know? Like, we can laugh about it, we can think about it, but I'm not trying to change. It's not that I don't believe I can change, but I'm not trying to shove my thoughts down anybody's throat or anything to that extent, you know? There's times on stage where we get a little serious, and maybe as I continue to grow as a comedian, you know, but I feel like there's ways, I guess, of tact, and not that you have to be tactful with anything, but, you know, to go about certain topics, because I don't want to lose my audience. I think that answer was drawn out, but the point is, no, I don't want to lose my audience. I want us to all have a good time, you know, And that, and yeah, I guess that's my gift. That's a skill. And that is something that I'm grateful that a finesse that I have, you know.
What makes me think about your life experiences, like you said, growing up in the suburbs in like mostly predominantly white places, and this sort of survival skill that you have developed of being able to sort of like guide some folks on a journey. And maybe it's unfair to have put you in that position, but you're pretty good at it, interestingly. And it's cool that you've been able to sort of like tap into that as a stand-up comedian in Denver. And even as a host, I'm curious if you use this skill of sort of guiding people along, or like you said, sort of finessing things as a host, because it sounds like you host events too.
Yes, yes. And thanks. I appreciate that. And I think it is true. I think that a lot of Black people have, especially if we're in a majority white place, have to know a finesse of, you know, saying what we're saying and getting our point across, and also not, unfortunately, seeming threatening when, you know, we're just human beings, you know. And I think a lot of marginalized identities can relate to that, whether, you know, even as a woman, sometimes it's like, oh, I have to put this message on a cupcake just for a man to receive it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm just telling you any other basic thing, you know, like, but we realize how much in life we've learned to do that. And even if it's a form of some sort of masking, you know, of not being our true selves, but at times we realize, I don't know if it's battles we have to fight or trying to get to a certain point, but how we're conditioned in this society. So that's a true and good point. And yeah, I think as a host, I do host my own, dating game show, which is a queer dating game show. And I've just hosted my wife's music event. And I host a lot of, I love hosting. And I think it's the same journey. Like I feel like my personality is, I love to watch as others maybe build an idea or come up with something. And then I'm coming in and it's like, okay, let's see how we can shape this or refine it or make it better. And I feel like as a host, that is a fun thing to do. It's like the center of attention is not always on me. Like it's on the people talking, speaking, performing. And then I get to come in and comment or say something funny or quip about what's going on and, you know, just keep the crowd in a high energy and yeah, share that experience. And it's like as a comedian, I'm usually the center of attention, also fun. But a bit, you know, like afterwards, I'm kind of more of a one-on-one human in general. It's a lot of energy, and hosting the same, but it's also like all of this energy and all of the show is not dependent on me, you know. It's like, interesting. All right, I get to share this. I don't know. And also I would, okay, I guess where I'm trying to get to is hype others up. I really like doing that, you know, introducing others well. Just speaking on like these people that I genuinely care about or even believe in, you know, and that's a great thing to be able to do as a host.
That's such a fun point that you're sort of facilitating an experience, but also as the host or an MC of something, you get to like hype people up and brag about folks and really like join in that community piece that's so necessary, because often people don't really brag about themselves. It seems like you do a lot of like hosting and community events. Like you've mentioned the dating, speed dating event. What does community and community building mean to you?
It means a lot. It's very important. When my wife and I came out, it basically we were ostracized from our families. And so we had to start over our own new community and everything, you know, and it has taken time. We're probably in, year four of very rough 3 years of growing, learn, still good and happy times, but growing, you know, learning, deconditioning from things we were taught, and just coming into ourselves as women, as partners, as mothers, you know, and community members and who we are. And so as we enter into year four and see all the hard work we've done, like on the outside and inside, and see the community that's gathered around us because of our energy, as well as like work we've done and, you know, just like love that we're trying to spread and our intention behind putting on events. Like it's amazing. Like that, it's like I could cry, you know. It's just like I never would have thought this would be the turnout. And so it's really helping me believe in myself and just what I'm capable of in this world and the joy that, you know, I can bring and the people I can bring together. Like that's, I wanted to share my story so that it's like we're all relatable and bring together and some commonality, some healing. It's been doing so many more things than I thought. Like it's much more amazing than like when I started this comedy journey, I didn't know where it was going to take me. And it's taken me some amazing places, some rough places, but also amazing.
At least no beers have been thrown at you yet.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I wish that I had so much more time to chat with you. I just appreciate how like thoughtful you are, and you really do have this like incredible host energy. Do you, in the last like 30 seconds, do you have anything you want to share with listeners? Like, where can people find you? Any events that you want to shout out? I'll give you the last like 30 seconds.
Thank you. Yes, and thank you, Elise, for everything. I would say you can find me at Chanel Hughes Official or ChanelHughes.com. And on February 17th, we have our dating game called Cuffed and Cabaret. We have comedy, we have drag, we have giveaways, we have a food truck, a bar, free parking at Town Hall Collaborative. And then the Friday after that, we have our next Funky Fresh Fridays, Black History Month edition. So definitely stay tuned to our Instagram, either me or my wife, Ooch, you, triple C, double H. You can find us online and, or Ooch Nelligan's Productions. You can find any of all of those things online with all of our events that we have coming up to, yeah, entertain, have a good time, and build community. So, yeah.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. I'm Elise Matatal, and you just heard my conversation with comedian Chanel Hughes. For more information about Chanel, her wife, and some of the events she's hosting soon, you can visit news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about today's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org. Join us next week, Monday, at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources, providing you homegrown queer radio every week. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m. right here on KGNU, or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources.
What's the matter? Your chicken tastes like pork? You have triplets instead of twins?